In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to Epiphany Sunday. This is a Sunday where we celebrate God's revelation of Jesus for everyone, and especially those outsiders, like those three guys coming from the east to offer their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's about outsiders bringing good gifts, unique gifts, for the sake of the kingdom. But I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the three wise men as much as I want to talk about Acts chapter 10, because it reminded me that this is probably a better Epiphany story to tell this year. It's a story of Cornelius and Peter. It's a story of a religious insider in Peter and a religious outsider in Cornelius, and how the two of them together changed the terms of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. But to get to Cornelius, Cornelius the wise, Cornelius the one whose life was a memorial offering to God, I want to talk about 1981. There, I was 11 years old. And in fifth grade, Alex Dabrowski was one of my best friends. I walked to his apartment. We were latchkey kids back then, so we walked everywhere. And I walked to school to his apartment, where most days we would have snacks. I would play with his brothers, and we would then begin wandering around the neighborhood. And there, almost inevitably, we would break something. Glass, trash, anything we could get our hands on to create mayhem in this world. Because we were latchkey kids, and this was the early 80s, and that's what you did. It was the wonder years, but then next year, junior high would happen. There I made better, seemingly better, junior high friends. And one of them gave me a book of Polack jokes. See, it never really entered into my consciousness that Alex Dabrowski was Polish, except that he was, and there was no comment on that. And it certainly didn't occur to me that being Polish was a bad thing, but casual racism found its way so perfectly packaged in that little book. Question: why do Polish names end in ski? Answer: because they can't spell toboggan. And every joke was a variation about how dumb Polish people are. These jabs would continue all through junior high, and even though only a few years earlier, Karol Wojtyła became the most famous Pole that we have. Karol Wojtyła would become Pope John Paul II. See, this story, this silly book that I got, and some of the jokes I had heard kind of scared me. I thought, well, if Polish people are kind of dumb, and I don't really want to be associated with dumb people, maybe I shouldn't be hanging out with Alex Dabrowski. Now, I'd like to tell you there's some big, spectacular break that happened, but it wasn't. Just over time, our friendship kind of faded. My experience in junior high resonates with me strongly as I read Acts chapter 10. Because as kind of sad as that story is, that Todd and Alex didn't get along so well after that, the story of Peter and Cornelius was much more fraught and ended much better. You see, Peter, for all of his faults, was a good, God-fearing Jew. He wanted people to like him. And he started out in the Acts of the Apostles all fired up for Jesus. I mean, he was preaching up a storm. 3,000 people at a pop were coming to the saving knowledge of God, and he could have seemed to do no wrong. He was excited about a big God with this big house called the Kingdom of God, but then life sets in. He felt like he was stretched out a little too far. He had been hanging out with the wrong people for a little bit too long. This thing about eating with non-Jews didn't matter more than whether you followed Jesus or not. So over time, he started eating with Jews and non-Jews alike, but because of an incident that happened in his life, he began to pull away from those people, those non-Jewish people. I think a big part of the story of Acts of the Apostles is to answer the question of what makes a Christian Christian. What do you eat? Are you circumcised or not? And who do you hang out with? Peter had to be reminded again and again, often by the Holy Spirit itself, that God had a mission for all people, Gentiles and Jews alike, circumcised and uncircumcised. But Peter, still being a man of his time, was a good Jewish kid, and he probably would have enjoyed his own set of jokes. Question: Why were Gentiles invented? Answer, somebody has to pay retail. It seems to me that progress moves in fits and starts in people like Peter, in the early church, and in our own lives. It is far from a straight line of justice. We are far from a straight line moving towards equity and justice. And that may not, God's will may not be apparent day by day or even year by year, but I'd say the overall trajectory is that God is drawing the circle wider and wider of who is in and who is out, who is family and who is not. And to study Peter is to study this experience. One step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, always slouching towards Jerusalem. To talk about what it means to be a community of justice and inclusion, I want to remind you about the timeline of how Peter began to stiffen his own Alex Dabrowski's. Peter fell in love with Jesus, he fell in love with God's people, fell out of love with God's people, and then fell in love with them again. But to know how that came to be, we have to look at his own story. Peter, back in the Gospels, denied even knowing Jesus. Do y'all remember that? Jesus is in his passion. Jesus is going to his death. And Peter says, I don't know this guy. I curse myself if you think I know him. I don't even want to have anything to do with him. He takes a far leap from that moment of drawing curses upon himself to being that wonderful big top preacher in the beginning of Acts of the Apostles. So as he continues the Acts of the Apostles, he's in Antioch, and he's eating with all those bad people. He's hanging out with Jews and non-Jews alike, and it seems like one big kind of hippie commune party. That's until the Jerusalem delegation shows up. James and some of his people show up, and they say, well, you know, Peter, we really need to talk about Judaism. We're really kind of questioning what you're doing. And then Peter would pull away from eating with those non-Jewish people. And so under this banner of Christ, you had two camps forming. You had the circumcised and the uncircumcised. You had the Jew and you had the Gentile. And God help you if you'd actually walk across the table to eat with those people. And it went both ways. This would continue, and the church would follow his example until Acts chapter 10, which we have today. In Acts chapter 10, I see it as a story of rewriting the script that Peter had succumbed to. He had succumbed to this vision of what it meant to be a good Jew versus a non-Jew. See, in the story, Peter has a vision. All these unclean animals come down from heaven. And God says, what you need is to have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, Peter, and it's going to be delicious. To eat those unclean animals and unclean food was kind of a shocker to Peter, because he was a good Jewish kid, and good Jewish kids don't eat those things. But this is not a story about food, it's a story about who do you hang out with. Because food was the bright line divider between Jews and non-Jews. And here God's sort of messing up and muddying the waters and saying, eat these nasty creatures so that when I invite you to go to Cornelius' house, you won't raise objections. So the vision is about people and not about food. Now you Bible nerds might know that Paul loved to talk about how much he shamed Peter about this. If you look at Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I told Peter to his face what a knucklehead he was. I told him that he's just an idiot for not eating with those non-Jewish people. But instead of Paul taking a victory lap, I'd like for the Holy Spirit to get the credit on this one. Because the Holy Spirit was working in Peter's life far before Paul came up bragging about how awesome he was. The Holy Spirit had showed up in Acts chapter 10 to change Peter's mind again. Peter came to know that God wants all people to know that no one, absolutely no one, has a corner on following Jesus. That those who seek them with all their heart can become like a memorial offering. That's what Cornelius was called. His life was a memorial offering. And for Peter, God wanted to break the barrier of food so that Peter could eat with those people. He could call people like Cornelius his brothers and sisters. Cornelius was somebody Peter never would have dared to hang out with had he not had this vision, because he was a good Jewish kid. But the scriptures tell us that Cornelius is even much more of a real deal than Peter was. Acts chapter 10 says that Cornelius and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Cornelius gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Then an angel shows up to tell Cornelius what's going on. The angel says to Cornelius, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." So God wasn't just working in Peter's life. He was working in Cornelius' wife to achieve his purposes for the kingdom of heaven. To put these two guys together would be the game changer that he needed to really set the stage for the church of the future. So once Peter has had the vision and Cornelius has had the vision, then Cornelius sends a person to invite Peter over and he says yes. And at Cornelius' house, Acts continues and it says, "Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, 'You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection.'" So Peter, seeing that the Spirit has been moving between him and Cornelius, he begins to preach, right? Because that's what Peter does. He likes to preach. And he says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." So Peter keeps on preaching because that's what he does. And by the end of his sermon, the Holy Spirit takes over. In verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles." Clutch pearls at this moment. This is the way the church is supposed to work. We show up, we start in faith, and the Holy Spirit turns the wheel. I think Peter is good news for us, because his fears, his hesitations, and his warts are the exact same ones as ours. We don't have to be a superhero. We just have to be willing to step out when God gives us a vision or when God asks us to move forward. So on Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate Jesus who came into the world for the sake of all people. We celebrate Jesus who has a big house and a big kingdom for us to play in. And Peter, if you have an Alex Dabrowski in your life, well, I want you to ask the same question that Peter asked of himself. Is it time for a dinner party? Is it time to be with those people? And who are those people in your life? And if you're willing, God can put the two of us together and we'll no longer be us versus them, Jew versus Gentile. We'll be part of the family of God. Amen.